Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Voices for Excellence. I am your host, Dr. Michael Connor, CEO and founder of the Agile Evolutionary Group, and of course, the proud host of VFE. And today's guest, yes, we are deep into our Black Excellence series, celebrating exactly what the name of our podcast is for this month, Black Excellence. And today, I wanted to bring in, I like to say, an edupreneur, an entrepreneur in the education vertical, who is just completely disrupting everything. I love her software solution. She has, I mean, just embedding 22nd century, I like to say, indicators from that, from my framework, as well as truly there's an intentionality around the instructional design with the product. But Kai Frazier, she's the CEO of KaiXR, has this outstanding, outstanding software solution. So outstanding where Kai, I was talking to Kai this morning and I said, Kai, this is just absolute randomness. So I was teaching a doctoral course in a doctoral program, and one of the final product or the final presentations for their final was to create a project where it was this disruptive design with classrooms that integrate solutions. And one group, so happens, what was the solution that they chose? KaiXR. I was like, I know her. Yes, I know her. I definitely know her. I felt like I know somebody famous, but it is without a doubt an absolute honor, a friend, a sister in the game, you know, and you don't see many African-American women that are a part of this ed tech vertical, and it's so good to see her. So we'd like to welcome Kai Frazier, who is the CEO and founder of KaiXR. But something that you might not know about Kai that we're going to get into, Kai is a historian, so we're going to unpack that as well. But Kai, listen, I'm not worthy, man. I got my students presenting KaiXR, and it was unprompted. I'm like, man, yes, I know somebody that's famous. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. And I am so proud of those students. I cannot wait to see what they do. And thank you for, once again, inviting me to spend some time with you.
Absolutely, Kai. You're making a difference. Your product, your solution, you being in the ed tech field, that is a disruption on its own. And I want to unpack that too, because I am sure and I know that there are many African-American women that want to enter this entrepreneurial space, that want to enter this ed tech space, but don't know how to. You kind of created this pathway for them. So we're going to unpack that. But Kai, you know, as an educator, historian, entrepreneur, and now the CEO of KaiXR, I want you to unpack this, because this is kind of like a song, or this is kind of a question where my viewers get to know, you know, who our guests are. But what song defines your work in the education ecosystem?
I always go back to Whitney Houston's The Greatest Love, because I strongly believe the children are our future. And they're going to do a great job leading the way. And I just hope I have an amazing seat when they do, as they do. And I am here to be a support for whatever opportunity, challenge they have. I'm just really looking forward to seeing what they create.
Yeah. And Kai, what I really truly appreciate about your answer, right? The greatest love, the children are the future. I can hear Whitney singing it right now. Teach me well. Exactly. Yeah, that was the next line that came in by my head. But when I unpack that, Kai, and I think that is so critical that we put an emphasis on the children, because Kai, I always talk about that we have Generation Alpha, right? And we just welcome into the world Generation Beta. And Generation Alpha are considered the generative natives, right? When we look at it, where they were born in generative AI, these emerging technologies, various platforms that they engage in. And then now Generation Beta, who are considered the quantum thinkers, right? The quantum natives. So we have to be intentional on how we create learning experiences and how we reimagine our operating model in alignment to the children, or to our students, Generation Alpha, Generation Z, because as you stated, they are the future, and we are entering, I like to say, an unvice world. that is uncertain, volatile, complex, exponential. I mean, it's just it's really this intentionality, but they are our greatest love. But I want to say this, Kai, you have created one of the most innovative solutions in the edtech space. You go, girl, KaiXR. Now, like I talked about, with my doctoral program, students are presenting their projects, trying to defy conventional pedagogies, as well as moving beyond traditional educational spaces. But for educational stakeholders, Kai, that do not know your product, what is KaiXR and the vision for impact in education? And then the second part, why KaiXR now in this AC stage of education?
Sure, absolutely. So I always like to start with my background, which is being a classroom educator. I've been in education for over 20 years now. I started in high school as a teacher assistant during my senior year, and I've been in education ever since. I have always had a passion for working with those kids who are underestimated. They have a lot of character. They make sure they keep you on your toes. And when you're working with groups of students like that, I haven't seen a lot of tools that are made with them in mind. They're usually asked always an afterthought, and that becomes a challenge when rolling out technologies in the classroom. For example, my school that I taught at, although we were maybe 30 minutes outside of Washington, D.C., and I taught U.S. history and world history, my school could not afford the buses to take my students the 30 minutes up the street to go to the Smithsonian Museum of American History or Natural History, which would have been a slam dunk when I was teaching. In addition, my school could not afford one-to-one devices. We actually had a bring your own device policy where students would bring in their own devices. I may have three kids sharing a tablet, two kids sharing an iPhone. And that's just how we did class. So once again, lots of technologies and tools not made thinking about the type of students that I worked with.
Absolutely.
So I went on to really think, what could that solution be like that could really give students a head start for the future? And that's where KaiXR came to be. We like to say from classroom to career, KaiXR is the only elementary platform with its high quality instruction materials dedicated to exposing students to real world careers, real world problem solving, real world locations, and even those real world technologies. Our learning platform is still with standard align learning adventures that are jam-packed with virtual field trips so kids can see the world around them. We have 3D makerspace challenges that can really work on that problem solving and critical thinking. The lessons are gamified. And when you put all that together, the results we see are classroom engagement being driven up and academic achievement being boosted too. And those are all things I wish I could have had in my classroom when I was teaching.
And Kai, thank you for this. And I want to unpack this, Kai. So I just want to spend a few moments with this because I think that this could be a great platform, right? This answer. And to my audience, please play this answer back in a segmented context, specifically any of the software engineers, software developers, UX designers, because again, Kai said something that was very intentional, right? And what she did was she actually took various elements and tenets from the opportunity and access gap to be able to create a software solution to close those specific gaps within the education ecosystem. What I love about this and intentionality is the focus on elementary. And Kai, you know this, and I know this as well. We start focusing on careers and the old model at the secondary level, where truly, in order to close the preparation gap, we have to be able to expose or create awareness of those specific careers, real world connections at the elementary sector, if we're truly going to prepare our students for this 22nd century that is accelerated because of artificial intelligence and emerging technologies. Kai, this is more of a subjective statement because I really appreciate the instructional design and the intentionality with the AI and the interface. Can you again, for my audience, can you unpack KaiXR in a simplistic form, elementary alignment, virtual field trips, gamification, engagement as opposed to, or engagement in lieu of compliance. I just really appreciate the product outputs that you're generating. But again, selfishly, subjectively, can you unpack IXR again?
Absolutely. So I'll give you an example of what a student experiences when they do a CAIXR learning adventure. We call them adventures because what if learning was an adventure as opposed to something that you're mandated to do and the kids just come in and kind of have like a dull feeling about it. So one of the popular adventures that we have, I'm trying to think which one I'll go. So for Black, we have Black History Month coming up and we're highlighting a range of historical learning adventures and even some futuristic ones that are happening right now. And one of my favorite is a learning adventure that we have called Mars Bound, and it features a aerospace engineer, Tierra Fletcher. Tierra Fletcher is a young Black lady out of Atlanta, Georgia, and she talks about how she has used her STEM skills, her math skills, how that started from a very young age. So now her challenge is at NASA in the location of Huntsville, Alabama. She's charged with making a launch device for a rocket to go to Mars. So she has to do a lot of scientific thinking to pull off that challenge of making that rocket go to Mars. So the way that that learning adventure looks is the students come in and they have a, for the teachers, we have a mini lesson where they can teach what is an aerospace engineer. Then they go into their math and they do some solar system work they find in their third grade, it's the third grade lesson, their third grade standards. Then they go into a virtual field trip where they are able to explore Tierra taking them through her job at NASA. So you get to see this young Black woman doing some astronaut training and going through her offices and what it looks like. After that, we give students a sample code where they have to do some things like make your rocket start off with the planet furthest from the sun. So they have to go through and think critically about the little code they have. It's about five directions. And then once they have that, they go into our makerspace and they start to program their rocket to make these movements. So they'll have to make their rocket go, you know, right five, back four, just to make that actual lesson work. So it's a cool activity that takes in their STEM skills, their STEM curriculum, science and math curriculum from STEM, gives them a virtual field trip to actually go to. A lot of our students that we work with are in Alabama, so they get to see what it's like in another city and new careers that are right in their backyard. And then they get to actually put their problem solving and critical thinking to work as they solve that challenge. I kind of have a simplified elementary level challenge for those students, but they get to see what that looks like. For that to work for that career.
Kai, the reason I have my head down is because I am writing down everything because the caption that you provided into my audience, and again, Kai, you know how I am, to my audience where Kai's product standards alignment, when I hear that as Kai was unpacking her answer, NGSS alignment, ELA alignment, when we talk about astronauts, one of my perseveration is Anchor Standard 4 that focuses on vocabulary, pedagogical alignment within the model, mini lesson to small group to exploration, collaboration, AI integration using gamification and other tenets of AI, problem solving and critical thinking in a collaborative manner, academic rigor that meets grade level standards through a makerspace. Kai, where was this when I was a principal, superintendent, CAO? I am so mad at you because I would adopt this for my district. This is like so cool, Kai. To my audience, please support Kai, KaiXR. If it just randomly came up in my class or a final presentation, it must be good, and it is good, and I know that. But Kai, I want to move on because this is phenomenal because I want to take you way back. Okay. And what I mean by I'm going to take you way back to my audience, what people might not know about Kai is she is a historian and she worked at the Smithsonian National Museum. She worked at the African American History, the Smithsonian of African American History Museum, the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. Kai, we got to geek out because, you know, that's how I am. But I want you to take now your lens off or your hat off being a part of this ed tech world, okay? I want you to take your hat off of you being an entrepreneur, educator in the space, and I want you to put your historian lens on. And from the lens of a historian, Kai, why has history and education become so immensely polarized? Now, you have a deep historical context, and you have taught history to many people, at some of the most recognized places in the world. But how? Why is it so polarized, and how do we de-escalate the polarization of history when our schools are becoming more diverse every academic year? 57% of our students in education are Black and brown. So I feel like I'm dubious about this, but I don't. But Kai, what's your perspective?
Sure. I want to almost take this in a different direction. I think when you're watching on the news, there's a lot about history being politicized and polarizing. My experience, which is almost even worse than that, is I go into a lot of schools and history is not being taught at all.
Oh, wow.
The reason for that is because, of course, COVID did a brain drain. The kids' scores are behind in reading and math. So reading and math, which are great things that should be prioritized, have taken precedent against everything. So history was the first thing to be cut out. Different electives that really help kids be creative and learn, you know, maybe like music, even sports,
yeah.
That's been all cut off. And then history, as far as the core subject areas, was next on the chopping block. So I am a firm believer of a lot of stuff. I always say history doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it sure as hell rhymes. And a lot of the reasons why you can see where things are going is you have a good understanding of what has happened in the past. It's a really good map onto things that can happen in the future. So my biggest concern is just a deprioritizing of history in general, and it's just not being taught in schools. And I think probably half the schools I go into do not have any history being taught. So that's my biggest challenge. When I get into why is history so polarizing, I'll give you a real world example from my work at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. When I worked there, I worked with digital strategy, and one of those things that I encompassed was social media. And I, for the love of me teaching history, I could never understand how a Holocaust denier came to be. I just wanted to get down to the bottom of what is the denial, what's happening, because my job was to basically be the first line of defense when I see all the hate coming through on social media. And, you know, just I wanted to be aware of what was coming at me. What I saw from digging deeper is it was more of a challenging of data. So maybe something like, oh, well, this many people didn't die here, or they actually died because of the war, not because of the Holocaust. Just very debating little thing here and there, right? And that was enough of just not good information to make it something a lot bigger. Same thing when I see, when I work with students, I'm very intrigued at when the hatred forms. And I find that it usually starts to stick around middle school. And it sticks because it starts off with something being weird, like, oh, your hair is weird. I don't like it. It's weird. I have to work really hard to tell my students it's different. And you need to talk through that. And that weird unchecked turns into hatred really quickly. So when I go into a lot of these histories and people don't want to understand, or they don't want to learn, they don't have the they don't have the motivation to learn about any other history. When I try to say like, oh, this is a different history. It's not a weird history. It's not a threatening history. It's not, this is another viewpoint of what happened, or a viewpoint you have not been privy to that you can hear about. I have to kind of take it from that lens and offer differing viewpoints. And then we can have a full conversation for people. So I always try to be probably a bit more understanding, and I guess my teacher hat coming on, as to why people can be so polarized or so charged about histories. And I really find out it's a misinformation of facts and their worst fear is going from weird to hatred instead of appreciating those differences.
Yeah, and I love the themes that you presented, Kai. Misinformation of facts is so critical in moving beyond that different to hatred. Those are two, I like to say, mega themes that are pretty much driving this polarization. And really love how you identify what could be those next steps to expand upon differences and to curtail misinformation so that we can be able to just teach history, a key, I like to say, foundational element in the education ecosphere. So thank you for that response. I've been waiting to ask you that question from a historian's perspective of this immense polarization of history in the education ecosystem. But getting back to another thread of your expertise around this digital reimagination that we're encountering in the education ecosystem, because Kai, we know that the pace of change is rapid and it's exponential. And we are actually feeling, and you're a part of this as well, this acceleration of AI and generative platforms. And they're shifting the forces within our economic demand and as well as with the future. But now there's this universal agreement within our operating model that we have to continue to advance technologies in this interfaced manner, right? So, in this context of interrelation between pedagogy and AI, Kai, how do we do this from a strategic design aspect when you have that classroom practitioner experience, right? We're seeing this level of novelty of creating equilibrium between pedagogy and AI. You seem to master that even within the instructional design of your software solution. So, from your experience as a classroom practitioner, how do we interface that between AI and pedagogy?
Sure, I am going to take this. I always try to answer my questions as a teacher first and then everything after. I think that there's not enough of us asking why. Why are we doing a lot of these things? And I think if we start with the why, it really shapes the method in which we do. For example, I know we have to do more technology. I know that's where everything is going. But why? I find that a lot of students, the technology isn't making them smarter. It doesn't always make them smarter. It almost takes away their thinking skills. So, what is the end result that we want? I want students to have strong problem solving and strong critical thinking. But if we just
Absolutely.
jump to AI and tell them, the kids are getting this message, they put it in, the answer comes out, and they don't know how to think critically about what they're seeing. They don't even know how to think to put together the prompts, the results aren't coming out that we would anticipate in a normal pedagogy. For example, I can't stress how much just writing helps reinforce concepts and helps them think through their brain. So when you take that out, which has been one of the things that we have been using over and over again, and that's gone, there's a comprehension gap that's happening. So we're seeing a lot of gaps that when we come together with these tools, at the very basis, I would hope that a lot of these educational systems are thinking about what are the literacies that are needed to use AI, whether it's more work on the skills like problem solving, critical thinking, creativity, and how they're doing their prompts to actually get the end result so they can do these jobs easier. For me as an ed tech professional, it is really hurting my soul that a lot of these edtech platforms have completely taken the teacher out of teaching. One of the things that IXR that we are very intentional about is every lesson comes with a slideshow. So we expect the teacher to get there and engage with the student and check for understanding. All those things that help really drive education, hit that pe those pedagogy pedagogical standards that we're talking about, those learning objectives. And go forward. But when we're putting the students in some of these platforms and it's just heads down, they're on their own, good luck, we don't even know what's happening. That's what we see. That's my big concern as why we're doing this and what are those skills we want to come out and how would that help us in the future?
I love that answer, Kai. And you framed what I've a friend of mine, Ken Shelton, a friend of ours, Ken Shelton, always state that there's high volume tech, right? There's this oversaturation of all these tools, but I always like to say low order thinking in the context of the students and the application of these critical skills and competencies with regards to the standards. So what is that equilibrium dosage between tech as well as higher order thinking skills? I always say this, Kai, and you'll laugh. I was like, between it, the tools that we're identifying, right? We're all the way up on the top of the knowledge taxonomies, right? But when we talk about the pure alignment with the tech and the tool, the pedagogy doesn't really provide that academic and intellectual rigor that is needed with that. And I really love that. And I want you to expand upon, this is a sub question, Kai, is the intentionality around building the literacies, right? The capabilities with these tools. Can you expand on that? Because that is an intentional phrase I think we need to focus on, right? Building these AI literacies, and what are some of these sub variants in the context that equals this AI literacy or literacies that are needed?
Absolutely. I'll give you an example of one of the learning adventures we have on a KaiXR platform, which is about AI and algorithms. On face value, you would think it's a STEM or a technology lesson, but it's actually an ELA, informative, informational text activity. So it starts off by a reading passage about what is AI, what does it do, and what are some biases in AI. It's on a fifth grade level, really easy, smooth to read. And then afterwards, the students have a series of short answers where the prompt is, there's a new robot that's going to help in this household, and it's been programmed with a couple of algorithms. You need to look at the algorithms and let us know if it is correct or incorrect and why. So there's one where it's about, okay, this robot's going to teach you how to brush your teeth. And it says, like, first you get the toothbrush, then you put mustard on it, then you brush your teeth, and then you gargle with soda. It's like, why is this, why is this right or wrong? And the students have to write why it's wrong, think critically, and they have two examples where you have to think it is right or wrong. Two are wrong, one is right. And then the last one says, okay, now you need to make an algorithm for the robot. You're going to teach it how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Be very detailed on how you write the steps. First do this, then do this. And although they're learning about AI literacy, they're working on their reading. They're working on subject-based, vocabulary in informational text, and they're working on the writing. They're working on short answers and how they're thinking about it. They never touch anything AI, but they're learning the skills and the literacy. So when they do touch something that's an AI tool, they know how to think critically about it. And I wish there were more intentionality on why we're doing the tech. I don't think the tech is always the first step. We work a lot with VR, virtual reality, and when we work more with VR headsets, we talk about what is VR. Here is the hardware. How does it feel? What do you think it does? Before we even
Amazing.
probably not get to the headset until the second or third class, actually putting it on. So these are things that we do so they can build up their literacy before they even get to the tech.
Absolutely, Kai. Well stated. Great answer to my audience. Kai, we use this Voices for Excellence as an asynchronous tool for professional learning for our leaders, as well as CEOs, founders of different or various ed tech companies, corporations, solutions. And we always have them or inform them or try to inform them to go back and unpack specific answers. What you did was you really gave a true classroom practitioner's sequence to implement various activities that ground the foundational literacies of your students to be able to address the text. So I want to get into this question, Kai, because again, like I said, you are one of the trailblazers. That's why you're on VFB Voices for Excellence, Black Excellence series, because you are one of the trailblazers in this country. And what I mean by that, you are one of the pioneers as an African American woman in the ed tech space. We're seeing, right, an upward trajectory where Black women are the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs. However, Kai, however, Black women owners in the United States still earn less revenue than their counterparts. So we're seeing this uptick within the data, but we're not seeing revenue, and these corporations that are owned by Black women earn less. So from your experience, from building a successful ed tech company with KaiXR, what advice would you give Black or Brown women who are at this startup stage or would like to enter the education entrepreneurial space regarding this persistence that they have to have against some of these systemic barriers. So that's the first part I want you to take. I want you to take part. And then two, the second question to unpack is, what strategies did you underscore to defy market challenges and scaling this successful solution so that now you're generating revenue, but at the same time, you're defying these biases that exist?
Yeah, so I work with a lot of Black women who have fantastic ideas for different innovations, different companies, and it tends to be the same first internal challenge that we all tend to have, which is to even get to a point where you are thinking about doing this. You've probably had a career where you're used to having a phenomenal work product and work ethic. To this point, you rise to the top of your top tier for all of these things. When you do startups, you have to almost release your worst product into the world so you can do iterations. If you release something perfect and it doesn't work or doesn't click, then you're dealing with technical debt to rip it apart and start from scratch and doing all those things. So the startup way is to have that MVP, that minimum viable product, and put it out into the world. I was telling a group the other day that the one of the best advice I was given is if you're not embarrassed when you launched it, you probably launched it too late. And that's hard when you're used to having a top tier product and rising to the top and doing all those things. So I find the first big challenge is to get over that it has to be perfect for me to release my gift out into the world for that. The other thing, as far as maybe unaccepted systematic barriers, it's all of them. All right. You can't do a company without money. Raising money, when I first started raising money, the statistic was out of all the venture capital funds that went to people that year, I think it was 2018, the amount that had went to Black women was 0.0006. So point zero zero. So it was statistically impossible for me to raise a dollar for the company when I first started out. I for a lot of people who known about my journey for this company, when I started the company, I heard all that and I saw I was gonna have to make my own friends and family around, if you will, which is another common thing that we see for a lot of Black women and Black people in general. So I had to sell my house, my car, and everything I owned, and I moved across the country from Washington, D.C. To the Bay Area so I could be in the Silicon Valley nook and learn all that I could and everybody around me. And it was the best accelerator program I could have ever had, was to be on the ground in the Bay Area and to learn from so many people doing amazing things. And just really, when I was in Washington, D.C., everybody told me that my idea for a company was crazy. When I came to the Bay, they all told me I wasn't thinking big enough. So I had to be around that thinking where people were thinking bigger, pushed me to do more. And that environment was really amazing. And that's sometimes things you don't get as a Black woman. I was able to learn how to raise money, learn what was needed to scale, learn what will be needed to manage a team. All these things that I don't think I would have learned as fast at the level if I wasn't wedged in between some great entities like Stanford, and I have to always shout out the K4 Center for Social Impact and learn from other entrepreneurs in the Oakland community. So I think that Kyxr's success has been a product of our environment, our community, and working from other like-minded people who are doing some great things. And if you're able to find that, you'll go very far. Last thing I'll say is that I was told we always have in our heads, especially as Black women, that if I could only get this, if I could only get this money, or if I could be here, then I could do X, Y, and Z. It's kind of like that phrase, the when people ask you like, what's the best camera? It's the one that you use. So I always tell people to start where you are, start with what you have, and start with what you know. I started the company in Washington, D.C. when I first got off. I had a donated VR camera to make my first VR experience from Georgetown University. I was using free versions of Final Cut Pro to edit the video. I went to my classroom that I taught at to test it out. I didn't have anything special. So really just starting with what I had access to will take you very far, but most people will never start. So a big part of this is believing in yourself to start.
I thank you because you motivated me, A, to continue to go deeper with my work. As you know, Kai, I just recently launched the EdTech vertical in my corporation, and that has been wow. It was such an experience. I really love what you said, where you got to release your worst product to the world, and it is true because I'm seeing all these dynamic iterations that are occurring, and it's just been absolutely phenomenal. And one thing that you stated, people thought I was crazy as I was starting this endeavor, and you got to keep on being persistent and consistent with that. It's usually the crazy people that change the world, right? And the best way to predict the future is to invent it. Last question, Kai. Last question. You made it through VFB. I don't know if you're going to be a rule follower with this question, but take it as it is. What three words do you want our audience to leave with regarding AI and innovation in the AC stage of education for Generation Alpha and Generation Beta?
Yeah, you're right. Even when I previewed this question, I was like, well, I don't think I can give three words. I'm going to double down on what I said earlier. It's literacy. I want people to inform themselves, even if it's never even touching the tool, just learning about what it can do. I tell people that people, when I go into schools, they're shocked. Students don't think I created KaiXR because I don't code. Right, but I can tell you about the different languages that are used in the platform. I can tell you about the devs. I can tell you about product back and forth. But I'm really well. My literacy is strong when it comes to the ins and outs of the platform. So people really sleep on what that literacy can look like and how you can be a leader in the field by just understanding what's happening around you, reading the news, reading news outside of the U.S. Attending different sessions with thought leader, even if it's just virtually. You owe it to yourself to make sure that you are filling your head with some great information from a diverse group of people so you can see different biases, different ideas, different challenges.
Absolutely.
And then you can think about the why you're doing it. And if you want to do something on your own, how can you start that based on everything that you've learned? With avoiding analysis paralysis. It's something else that we see in a lot of Black women is once you think you have it, once you've learned it, don't be afraid to throw it out there and see what it's like to put that teaching into the real world.
Thank you, Kai, for your answer to my audience. Please, this is an episode that you want to play back because there's so many strategies that are embedded within this episode. And also to just to pique your curiosity about KaiXR, Ms. Kai Fraser, CEO and founder of KaiXR, please, please, please go visit her website. Please visit the software. I can tell you this, it will change the trajectory of how your practitioners teach, as well as how they integrate AI in their classroom. Kai, if my audience want to get in contact with you, how would they be able to reach you?
Sure, we are at www.kaixr.com. You can find us there. We have not been to a classroom where the kids don't love the technology and the teachers are not thanking us for creating a time-saving resources that really connects the why are we learning about this for their students. You can also find me on LinkedIn under my name, Kai Frazier. And then, of course, email is probably the best way to contact me. You can find us at explore@kaixr.com.
Thank you, Kai. And Kai, I can tell you this from one alpha to another. I am so proud of you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Kai. And on that note, onward and upward, everybody. Have a great day.